We're going to begin this morning in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 9 and going through 11, but we're going to be looking at several different passages of Scripture today. This is the fourth of the fourfold gospel. Christ our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. And I hope that you recognize by now that each one of these is Christocentric. In other words, Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. And all of these attributes that he has and offers to us are because he is Lord, and we focus upon him and upon his work. The fact that our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is returning to earth to reign and rule for 1,000 years is actually in the Christian Missionary Alliance, but also in Scripture, it is our reason for mission. It is the thing that focuses on mission. The Scripture says to spread the gospel of the kingdom throughout all the earth, all the nations, all the peoples. And when the gospel has thoroughly permeated the earth, then the King will come back. And that's very important for us to recognize. God desires everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's a statement by the Apostle Paul to Timothy by divine inspiration. It's God's desire that people come to be saved. They won't all. In fact, Jesus said that broad is the path and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many people are on that road. But narrow is the path and narrow is the gate that leads to life eternal. And a few are those who find it. And yet it is God's desire that every person have a chance to hear the gospel message. And so as a consequence, Jesus will tarry until the gospel has spread through all the earth. Peter says he is not slack in his promises, as some people would consider slackness or delay, but he is long-suffering toward us. He is waiting to give everyone an opportunity. And when we talk about the coming of Christ and missions, we're not talking about just cross-cultural ministry that's around the world, but we're talking about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with every person that God gives us the opportunity to speak to, our neighbor, our block, our community, our workplace, where we do business, to be able to promote and present the good news of Jesus Christ by our attitudes, by our character, and with our words, and to share Jesus Christ, and then through our assemblies to support the work of world mission and to share Christ around the world. That's our privilege and our opportunity. And so I want to share with you some of the things this morning and answer some of the natural questions that arise from them. The Scripture teaches that the King is coming and Jesus is returning in bodily form. We read in Acts chapter 9, as Russ read for us earlier, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now remember that this is the same Jesus who approximately 40 days prior met with them in the upper room, and then the next time they gathered, about a week later, Thomas was there. Thomas had heard about his appearing, and he said, "I'm sorry, I'm not believing any of that stuff unless I see the nail prints in his hands and I put my hand in his side that was stabbed with the spear. I'm not believing that this is the same Jesus that came out of the grave." And so the next time they were together, Thomas was present. And Jesus stood in their midst to their surprise. And he said to Thomas, "Thomas, stretch forth your hand and touch the nail prints and put your hand in my side and see that I am the one who was crucified." And, you know, at that point in time, Thomas did not need to do either of those things, but he fell before the Lord and said, "My Lord and my God." This same Jesus, this bodily resurrected Jesus, he did not arise within the hearts and minds of the disciples. He arose from the grave. And he walked in their midst, and he was seen not only by the disciples, but he was seen by many others. In fact, the scripture says at one point 500 people saw him at one time. Do you know what the phenomena would be of 500 people having exactly the same hallucination, exactly the same vision at exactly the same time? You know what the chances of that are? Non-existent. They saw him with their eyes. He cooked fish and ate with them a breakfast on the seashore. He told Peter to cast his net on the other side, and it filled with fish. They had been all night with no catch, and all of a sudden their nets were full, and Peter bails out of the boat and comes toward shore, and he says, "It is the Lord." And so they saw him in bodily reality throughout that period of time between the resurrection and about 10 days before Pentecost. They were able to see Jesus. And so here they are standing outside of Jerusalem, and the scripture says that as they were looking on, a cloud received him out of their sight as he was lifted up. Jesus in bodily form levitated off the earth and rose into the heavens. And it says, and they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. That, I think, is a great understatement. I think they were they could hardly believe what they were experiencing. I think that's why these two fellows in white clothing stood beside them, and they didn't immediately catch on that they were there. But all of a sudden they spoke up and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Now, that does not necessarily mean that he is going to float down. In fact, the book of Revelation says that he is going to come in triumphant glory. He's going to be riding a white horse and a sash, and the name of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the whole host of heaven will accompany him. But he will nonetheless, this same Jesus, come out of the heavens back to this planet and back to this earth and put his feet upon this ground. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this is not an apparition. This is not a spirit. This is this same Jesus, the one who went up into heaven. This same Jesus will come back. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "For we know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is." You know, when Jesus returns, two things are going to happen. The first thing is the dead in Christ will be raised. And the second thing is every believer who's walking on the face of the earth will be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, read that passage, particularly the last half of the chapter. And the scripture indicates that we will be raised in a brand new life, but we will still be ourselves. You know, some people think that when believers die, they turn into angels. They don't. They stay people. When Jesus returns, those of us who are caught up to meet them in the air stay people. We will be human beings. And here's an important consideration, and that is that some people teach that we will be like God. Have you heard that teaching? We will be like God. Who said that? Satan said that. That the scripture does not say we will be like God. We stay people. We stay human beings. Jesus became a man, the second Adam. And He will forever remain a human being for our sake. Yes, He will be King of Kings. Yes, He will be Lord of Lords. Yes, He is the Son of God. He in no way surrendered His deity, but He took upon Himself humanity. And it is not the Jesus God whom we will be like. It is Jesus the second Adam. It's Jesus the man in glory. And when He establishes His kingdom upon this earth, He is actually taking the place of Adam. Adam was supposed to have dominion and authority, and he and Eve were to rule the planet and to control and have dominion over and subdue all the wildlife. It was all under their authority. And because of their sin, they abdicated their great position to the enemy himself, and they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and their fellowship with God was broken, and this planet has turned into a mess. Not because God has purposed it to be a mess, but because that was the consequence of sin, and it was a warning. Don't eat of that tree. And Satan said, "Oh, God knows the day you eat of it, you'll be like Him." You see, we have always since wanted to be like God. We will never be like God. But we will be glorified as human beings and restored to that marvelous place because Jesus is coming back. the second Adam, to reign and to rule upon this earth. And so we have this tremendous privilege. Now, you know, the disciples, Matthew chapter 24, they were in Jerusalem. It was the last days of Jesus' ministry before the crucifixion. And Jesus was walking out away from the temple, and he said, you know, one day not one of these stones will stand upon another. This city will fall, and that will be a sad day. And the disciples kind of came to him privately, the scripture says, and they said, Lord, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus began to give them answers of things that they were to look for. Now, one of the things that we need to recognize is all over the world, things like this have happened in pockets, in small places, relatively small considering the world. But Jesus is talking about the fact that one day the whole planet will be in this chaos. And when we see these things begin to happen, we can know that his appearing is very near. What are some of the things in Matthew 24 that he says? First of all, there will be false prophets, and they will prophesy, there is the Christ, over here is the Christ, out in the desert is the Christ, up in the mountains is the Christ. You need to go follow him, he's the Christ. Many false Christs will arise. Listen, if you don't know it personally because God told you, it isn't so. The false Christ will be proclaimed by false prophets. But when Jesus comes, all of us will know it. Every believer will recognize it. There won't be any surprises. We will all recognize him. Even the Jewish nation will look on him whom they pierced, and they will believe. And Jesus' return will be obvious. But nonetheless, many people will proclaim false Christ. And then he says there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You know, we've always had wars here and there and the other place. But in the end times, the whole planet will be at war with one another. And nations and kingdoms will rise and try to overpower and take over one another. These are some of the things that are going to make ripe the hunger for someone to make sense of it all, and that someone will be the Antichrist. He will offer solutions, and for a while he will provide them. There will be famines and earthquakes all over the world. You know, some people think to themselves, why bother saying a blessing every time you eat? Particularly if you say the same thing, you know. I won't go there, but anyway. Do you realize that Jesus prayed, as was his custom, every time he ate? He prayed and thanked God, and he used a Jewish prayer formula As far as we know, he said the same thing every time. And it never got old coming from his lips. He was grateful. I think about frequently whether I've gone out to eat or whether we have groceries at home and Rowena has prepared a meal, or in the case of last evening, Jonathan prepared a meal. And I think about the fact that in this country we can go to the store and we can buy food and we can have variety and we can enjoy all kinds of good things. It's amazing what God has provided for us. But there will come a time upon this planet where there are famines everywhere. And the grocery store shelves will be empty. And our choices will be very limited. And it'll be hard to find something to eat. When Rowena and I were in college, times got to be tough occasionally. We lived on a shoestring to begin with, and I remember a time when the only thing we had was Farina cereal. Can you imagine Farina cereal? It's the only thing in your refrigerator. And I don't even think we had milk to fix it with. I think it was water. And that was our food. I knew a couple down in Pensacola that were going to school, and people were criticizing them because they were gaining so much weight. They were just turning out to be fat. And they thought, that's a poor testimony. You know why? The only thing they could afford was a sack of rice and a sack of dried beans. And that's what they ate for every meal. Doesn't take long to put on some weight eating beans and rice. It wasn't because they were turning into pigs. It's because they didn't have vegetables and nourishing food that they could afford. But those are isolated pockets. We are so blessed. One day the famines will cover the planet. One day the earthquakes. I forget, I won't even begin to say, but it's in the thousands of fault lines that are scattered across this globe. And one day when those fault lines begin to break apart, there will be earthquakes everywhere. And we will see tragedy like never before. These are the outward signs that will come prior to the return of Christ. And it will make people hungry for someone that has a solution. But our solution is in Jesus Christ. And even though we will be persecuted, as we see in the next section, even though we will be persecuted, we will have a relationship with God that He promises to bring us safely to His heavenly kingdom. Aren't you glad this morning that you know Him? You know, Jesus said, and many people often quote it incorrectly, Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. Some people think that what He said was, be afraid of those that can kill the body. No, He said, don't be afraid of those that can kill the body. Don't worry about it. How many of you are not worried about being killed? Okay, prove it to me. No, we can have confidence in the Lord, but it does not mean that we will not suffer and die for our faith. However, Jesus said, be more concerned about the one who can cast both body and soul into hell. That is God the Father. And that is the concern. If we have our confidence in Jesus Christ and we are resting in Him, even if we suffer and die, we will live forever in the presence of Jesus. We will not be abandoned. It's not the end. We will go on in His presence and by His power. The nature of humankind in the end times is believers will be hated and delivered to tribulation, and persecution. Many religious Christians will fall away and betray others. I said religious Christians, not true believers. You know, Jesus said, let the wheat and the tares grow together and let the angels worry about sorting them out in the end time. I don't know this morning as I stand before you. I know what your testimony is. I know what you profess to believe. I don't know if that's head knowledge or if it's heart commitment. I can sense when our spirit is together, but I don't have an absolute guarantee. I can't judge you. Particularly the ones that don't look like Christians. I can't judge. I don't know. God knows. And so the scripture says, don't try to sort out the tares, lest you also uproot the wheat and damage it. So this morning in our congregation, if I went from row to row and demanded to know the truth and somehow I had a spiritual meter and I could measure whether it was a heart commitment or whether it was a head knowledge, what do you think would happen to this congregation? What do you think would happen? We'd tear it apart. We create all kind of problems. Some people try to do that. Some people try to determine who's really born again and who's not. I can't figure that out necessarily. I know what the truth says. And I have the witness of the Holy Spirit in my heart that I am born again and a child of God. And I trust that you do too. For the Spirit bears witness that with our spirit that we are children of God. But if you don't have that witness of spirit, I can't say that for sure. Many religious Christians will fall away, and the tragedy is they will betray others. I heard the story of a Bible study group in China, a small, very small house church that was not one of the sanctioned churches. It was part of the underground church. And somehow or another, the police were discovering where they were meeting every time they moved. And they were getting in trouble, and pretty soon they were going to be arrested and incarcerated. And they wondered what to do about it. And they prayed together, and someone came up with an idea. I think the Holy Spirit prompted them. Don't determine where you're going to meet next time, when or where. I will guide you. And so the next time they met, they listened to their spiritual intuition. They went to a certain place at a certain time, not knowing where they were going to go until that moment came. And one of them was missing. There will come a time when believers will betray one another. Religious Christians will betray one another. And Paul says to Timothy, in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be, and listen to this list, it's truly remarkable, they will be lovers of self. You know, every person apart from Christ is a lover of self, but it doesn't always manifest overtly. But in the end times it will. They will obviously be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, and irreconcilable. People that you won't be able to do anything with. You won't be able to bring correction. You won't be able to get their attention. You won't be able to steer them in the right way. They will be irreconcilable. Malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such people as these. As the time of Jesus' return draws near, the debauchery of humanity will get worse and worse. The Holy Spirit, who now kind of keeps a lid on things, will begin to withdraw so that the true colors of people can be clearly seen. And we're already seeing the beginnings of that. We're already seeing that kind of behavior and activity. And the attitudes of many people today is heartbreaking. And how many times have you read in the last number of years parents who kill their children and children who kill their parents? Can you imagine something that is so unnatural and abnormal that the very ones who provide for you, you're willing to kill? And the parents who are bothered deeply by their children are willing to kill them to get them out of their lives. We read things like that and it's like, how can this happen? One of the recent shootings that occurred, the first person the shooter killed was his sister. What a tragedy. How heartbreaking. Jesus said, we're going to see more and more and more of this behavior toward the end. Don't be surprised. Pray for revival. Pray for renewal. Pray for people to come to know Christ. We don't give up because it's getting bad. We reach out and make every effort to bring people to faith in Christ and see the transformation. But as time goes along, fewer and fewer will respond to the message and more will go their own way. Jesus is coming back. He is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. He will establish His kingdom upon this earth. He will reign for 1,000 years, and all of this chaos and hatefulness and insolence and irreconcilable behavior will come under authority. And the scripture says this earth will at last know peace again. The child will be able to play at the adder's den, the poisonous snake. And the wolf will lay down with the lamb. And there will be no harm on all the earth. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it be wonderful to experience that? It's coming. Our coming King, Jesus, is coming again. The same one the disciples saw go into heaven is coming back to this planet. Father, I pray that You would make us wise, that we would not be surprised when these things come to pass that You've said would come to pass. They are for us beacons, signposts that point to Your return, and they encourage us in one sense because we know that You will redeem us and we will be Yours forever, living in Your presence, walking in Your kingdom. And so, Father, this morning, may we win the world to Christ and bring back the King. In Jesus' name, amen.